Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Two games in the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight. The Tampa Bay Lightning will attempt to sweep the Florida Panthers at home at 7 o'clock. The Blues host the Avalanche at 9:30, trailing 2-1. Ville Husso starts in goal in place of the injured Jordan Binnington for St. Louis. In the Edmonton-Calgary series, which is off tonight, Flames forward Milan Lucic will not receive supplementary discipline after running Oilers goaltender Mike Smith last night. Calder Cup playoffs, Game 2, Amerks at Rocket tonight in Laval at 7 o'clock. Laval won Game 1 last night. In the NBA playoffs, Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals, Heat at Celtics tips off at 8:30. Miami star guard Jimmy Butler is expected to play after exiting Game 3 with a knee injury. To football, in New England, Bill Belichick says he has not decided yet who will call plays for his offense in 2022 as the team does not have an official offensive coordinator. Former Giants head coach and Patriots assistant coach Joe Judge was working with his quarterbacks today at OTAs. SI's Albert Breer reports it is possible Belichick calls his own plays on offense this season. Other football news, Kyler Murray not present at Cardinals OTAs. Adam Schefter reports there have been no new developments on a potential Murray extension. Veteran quarterback Nick Foles signs today with the Indianapolis Colts, reuniting with head coach Frank Reich, who was Philly's offensive coordinator when Foles won the Super Bowl. And former Bills tight end Tyler Kroft has signed a one-year deal with the San Francisco 49ers. The Bills reported the team facilities today for the first day of OTAs. Practice will be opened up to the media tomorrow, where we should find out if safety Jordan Poyer is in attendance. Poyer changed agents last month and may be pushing for an extension going into the final year of his contract. Coverage of Bills OTAs on WGR is brought to you by M&M U Pullet, Western New York's premier destination for used cars and truck parts. That's your Paddock Chevrolet Sports Update. Paddock Chevrolet with you for the extra mile. I'm Joe DiBiase for WGR Sports Radio 550.
He was calling
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Instead of them, him.
He got something that frightened even the self-proclaimed mountain man.
It's Mike Shope.
This thing was 10 foot tall. He had beautiful hair.
The Bulldog.
And I said, get away from here. Get. Get. And he went right back out that path again.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
It looked like he had six fingers on each hand.
John Otto, Ted Darling, that guy. We're celebrating the great and proud history of WGR. 100 years. Amazing. Isn't that amazing? I believe John Sterling once said, isn't that amazing? Yeah. It was 1922.
On these airwaves. Yeah.
Yeah, he might have. Isn't that amazing? So we just had a caller, Mark, who brought up, I think he put it as, I want to answer your question from earlier. We were talking earlier. It wasn't like one of these, you know, hey guys, what would you do? You know, it wasn't so direct, but it was asked.
Mm-hmm.
Peter King's rankings, Bills are number one. Everybody's rankings, betting odds, they're number one. No pressure. I brought up, so if they weren't somebody's number one team, why would that be? Where are they lacking? And we talked about Sean McDermott for a minute, and I said how, boy, I think outside of not even most fans here, some fans here, like sort of, really pointed criticism of him would sound very strange. Especially, this is funny because we talked about the Bengals earlier in this kind of way, given that the Bills have been, you know, if you will, off the radar for so long before he arrived. But, you know, what would be an answer? Maybe some question about him given how the playoffs ended. And the caller said, you know,
that's it.
That's it. Their defense has been, you know, smashed. I was ready to point out the home game that they lost, but before I could, he brought up like the 300 rushing yards. It was a different kind of domination, if you want, in that Chief game. So I don't know. Like, this is really who I've become as a fan. None of that means much to me in terms of what's going to happen next time. You know, they had that game won at Arrowhead.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they've built their team in such a way. Like, yes, they had the number one defense in the league. And you know, the Bengals got to the Super Bowl in part because they shut the Chiefs down in the second half. And how much of that was the Chiefs just, you know, not executing, you know, and how much of it was the Bengals frustrating them. But they did it. And the Bills have not been able to really, you know, short of that game here in the regular season from 2 years ago where they kind of gave them the ground. You know, they've had a very tough time, but they've built their team offensively to be able to outscore them and not have to worry about it. And yeah, I mean, you score two touchdowns within, you know, inside of the 2 minute warning to take the lead on the road in a playoff game, you should get that thing parked in the garage safely. So it's a freak show to me that it happened. You know, but overall, I'm not going into the season thinking, how are they going to stop Patrick Mahomes? I'm going into the season thinking, do what you did in the playoffs again and just don't screw up the final 13 seconds.
Go score 40 points.
Because just... I know that 13 seconds is another example of them not being able to stop him, but, I mean, he's good. He should have been stoppable in that circumstance. I mean, given what you have. If you play some sort of appropriate defense and he beats you, like, okay, I'm tipping my hat to you. I just don't know what happened there. It still blows my mind, and it's still going to aggravate me every time we get into talking about it. So I'm trying to not...
Unless they win.
Have that happen, right, until they win. But, yeah, I mean, I like I said, I mean, I got a good amount of that. The one, like, I brought it up because somebody blew my mind with that take, and then the next day I just sort of went after it, and I was surprised how much... I got, even from people, Mike, like, I don't know that I've told you this, but I, you know, we've got our networks of friends and whatnot. There's one guy that I often think of when we're doing the show. Like, will this guy like this? Will he like that? Like, he's sort of in my head. He's my conscience, aside from my own. And he sent me a very long text after I did a show talking about this caller who wanted to fire McDermott. And he's like, he can't waste Josh Allen. If it happens again, you're going to have to do something. And, like, this is the most level-headed, non, like, fanatical super fan I know.
Like, there's a category.
Yeah, right. We sort of we are in agreement a lot, you know, I would just say. Like, watching games, texting one another during games. And to hear him put it that way, I was like, wow.
Joe, I just want to tell Joe, it has to be Don Postles. I just want to tell Joe. I don't know if I tried to just slip that in.
So anyway, like, it's, you know, I don't need to, like, get us into a whole conversation about that again, unless that's where you want to go, which is fine.
Look, I mean, it's not a runaway. They are not the defending champions. They were not even in the Super Bowl. I've said a few times, I feel like they're getting credit for winning those games without even having to play in them. But I understand why. If you put another team above the Bills on your ranking, you certainly could do it because it's so close. You have to acknowledge that. It's just like, what is the thing about them? They don't really appear to have an obvious weakness. Like, what is it? You want McDermott because of the 13 seconds in Kansas City? Okay. But his record is fabulous. And I don't know. Like, it's most coaches won't stack up much better. Maybe they will if they're older and they've been around. We saw what happened to Belichick in these last couple meetings. So maybe you want him. One of the things that I think this is obvious but has, I think, probably been of the greatest value to the Bills, something up there on the list, is the continuity with him and then with coordinators. Leslie Frazier's been here the whole time. Mm-hmm. And now there'll be a new coordinator for the first time since Allen. And that'll be interesting, but there's also familiarity there, and that'll be called continuity also if it works. So they have that, and you look at all kinds of other situations, and you see different. You can, and I said this earlier, I think in terms of the Chiefs, last year they made the Super Bowl and lost, And it would have been more common or more popular to just put the Chiefs above the Bills because you see Mahomes above Allen, and that, you know, necessarily isn't all of it, but there was a the line was drawn differently, you know, I think between these two guys last year. And in terms of the NFC, well, AFC, you have other teams too, but the Packers and the Bucks, the quarterbacks entrenched, certain Hall of Famers, so much older. I don't know. Because you can't say about Aaron Rodgers, for instance, that you're not going to beat him in a big game. Holy cow. I mean, he's got one ring.
He's lost more big games than he's won.
He's lost more big games than a lot, than almost anybody. That's right. So, you know, in the playoffs. And I'm not trying to make that out to be a big thing. It's just that really doesn't work. Tampa Bay, you could use Brady if you want, but at his age is still sort of a modern miracle. The Rams were a 4 seed. I don't know. Like, it's not an easy question for me. I wasn't really like trying to get a whole what, Mike? Sports talk show started. But so what if I was? Like, why would you not put them first? Who knows? They can't run the ball? Who would say that?
Some people might, but I don't, it's not on, you know, there's really, I don't know. I don't have a list. So I think they've earned the spot they're in. You know, I do think it is important. I like it to my ears, and I hope for our audiences when you point out that we just sort of assume they would have won these games. They would have beat the Bengals, of course, because they're the Bengals, and they would have beat the Rams, and, you know, if not for these 13 seconds, I think it's important to just say that out loud, that we're, because that's assuming a lot, you know, I mean, it's assuming a lot. The Bengals did shut down the Chiefs in the second half of the AFC Championship game in Kansas City, something the Bills have failed to do 2 times in the playoffs. So, again, you know, divvy it up however you want, how much blame do the Chiefs deserve, how much credit do the Bengals get, whatever. It happened. They did it. So I don't know. I also, you know, the Bills would have been heavily favored. I like to think they would have won, but it assumes a lot.
It does. Like, we all assumed the Chiefs would beat Cincinnati.
Right.
Like, the point spreads probably would have been the same or about the same for those games. Joe, any thoughts?
I think the only thing I could imagine hearing as to why the Bills wouldn't be first is the Chiefs first, because I've got to see the Bills do it. And, like, how do you even talk to that guy? Like, it's the unwillingness to project, because it's just I got to see them do it. Like, that happened, I'm sure, when Brady left New England. And it's all, we're going to put New England first because it's still Belichick. And until you do it, I'm not going to put you first.
That's
the only way.
We could have said this last year about the Bills and the Chiefs, because they lost twice to Kansas City, and then they went there in week 5 or 6 and smoked them.
Now you might say, I got to see them do it in the playoffs.
To your point, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know what we were talking about last year? I don't know. Like, I don't have a ranking or a spreadsheet in this instance, but a fairly common concern voiced by fans, Bills fans, last year was, can Josh Allen play in front of big crowds?
Mm-hmm.
That's hilarious, isn't it, to think about?
Yes, yes.
Like,
yeah,
do we
crowd
know?
Crowd noise, yeah, right.
Are we worried about big crowds? Not really. I'm a little bit worried about Jacksonville crowds. But not big crowds, no. All right. 803-0550 to comment. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, Sneaky Joe. Look what I have today. This is not paper. Here's paper.
I can tell the difference.
What's this?
Plastic.
Plastic?
Yeah.
As in a bag? What's in the bag?
What is it? Is that green in there? Am I seeing?
Oh, I can't see so good. Is that Bill Shakespeare over there? I can't see so good. Sugar snap peas.
Oh.
Hmm.
I know. Exactly. Exactly the reaction I might have anticipated. Sugar snap peas. I got to make changes.
Good.
Just flat out.
It's a place to start.
Little dip for those? You're just eating them straight?
Right out of the bag.
No
dip. Right out of the bag. Well, you can get a nice
If you're out to make changes, you ain't using dip on sugar snap peas.
No, I'm not anti-dip, though.
See, no, sure.
There are healthy dips.
I'm going to start making a list of snacky vegetables. And I you'll see dip here and there. Like bean sprouts I like. But, you know, you take two or three clumps of bean sprouts and eat them, that gets pretty boring. Just not, how much more of that can you really eat?
How are you dipping bean sprouts?
Well, I don't know yet, but maybe
that
a dressing.
Very dippable.
No, good point. No, it wouldn't be a dip in that case. It'd be like a dressing.
Yeah, all right.
Like an Italian dressing or something like that.
Sure.
And then a fork.
Yeah,
you go to work on
doing that with your hands now. Yeah, right.
Right. So, water, I've got this app. This app tells me what to do, and I need somebody to tell me what to do, so I've hired an app to do it. Because they would know. They would know all the stats and everything.
What sorts of things, what sort of choices are we talking about here?
A workout, for one, that I did. And also water intake.
Mm-hmm.
So I download this app. I've actually, this is a little embarrassing, but I downloaded it weeks ago. But I never opened it. But I put it on the home screen and then just left it there right next to Underdog.
Well, it was a step. It's a process.
In any given moment, I would have to make a choice between doing another Underdog draft or, getting in shape. So I'd pick the drafts, you know. It's only $25. Throw down a draft, you know. It takes less than an hour. But there was, yesterday I decided to do it. Today I'm doing it. My wife left for work and the kids were at school. Nice out. Let's go. So it tells you what to do. And it also has you so we're going to drink 8 cups of water today. I got that. I drink water all through the show.
Mm-hmm.
Every show. Sometimes coffee too, but always water. At least one Yeti thing here. What's this? 16 ounces maybe, Joe?
Pint,
it's bigger than a pint, I think. Well, a pint is 16, right? Let's say it's 16. One an hour. I'll drink a pint of water an hour during the show. So this app says 8 cups of water, which I think are 8 ounces. I'm like, fine, I'm not going to worry about that because I'll do that in the afternoon.
Yeah, that's easy. Well,
but this is the first day with this app, right? You know what it does? Every hour, it makes a drinking noise. It's time. Go get a drink of water. So it's the first day. I'm going, what's going to happen once I get to 8? Because I got to 8 today by 1 o'clock or noon even. I was done
for my limit.
It hasn't. No, it's all set. I'm not. It hasn't asked me to add the new water. I've lost count. I want to show this thing. I want to show myself well here. I want
the app to know how hard you're digging in. Yeah,
right. I don't want it to think I just had the 8 cups by noon because I'm going to have another 8 by now almost. Is there such a thing as too much? I know there is in a very short amount of time, but what about over the course of a day?
I don't know.
Is 20 bad for you?
But you want credit. You want the app to appreciate the effort you're making to drink more than just the 8 cups of water.
I want credit.
Yeah.
That's right. And these
recognition.
These snap peas, they're good. You can buy them washed right in the bag. That's what I did, I can't swallow the shell really. So I end up spitting out the shells. I'll chew on them for minutes and then just gotta get rid of them. Gotta spit them out.
That doesn't sound that pleasant.
I feel like I'm getting the nutrition.
So what sort of workout did it tell you to do today?
So it wanted my age and weight and BMI, so my height and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was they wanted to know if I had an injury, and I said no, even though my hip is sore all the time. No. And then, all right, so do you want beginner, intermediate, whatever? Let's see what the beginner sounds like, because I'm pretty much inactive except for my river walks. So, okay, beginner, and it was plank, hold the plank for 30 seconds or something, and push-ups, crunches, mountain climber, and 2 or 3 other things. It was a 15-minute workout, maybe.
All right, yeah.
To start.
Did you, Did you feel like you successfully completed all of the tasks that were presented?
I do. All right. Yes. Good. I'm kind of a little bit excited to see what tomorrow has in store. I'm not going to peek. It could be a lot more.
Something the same workout or something to build on.
It's got to be more.
Huh.
Don't you think?
After one day?
A little bit more. Maybe like one more push-up.
My first time doing push-ups
since last year when I was doing so many every day.
I would anticipate it's a mild. If there's any increase, it's very, very mild.
Yeah, I might agree with that. But it'll be something,
yeah.
I believe. Here's Matt with us. Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Thank you, Matt.
All right. I got a let's talk about the water intake. I was listening to George Norrie last night, and he had a doctor on, and he said half a gallon a day is more than enough. Anyways, baseball. What does baseball war mean?
Wins above replacement.
Yeah, but what does it mean?
It's a metric. It's like not, you can't know what the formula is, and different sites and places will use different formulas, but it's an effort to determine a player's value.
Okay, now what does it mean, WAR?
Wins above replacement. They have it in other sports too.
Wins above replacement.
Right.
Right. If you took like an average player and like took this player out of your lineup and replaced him with the average player, WAR is designed to tell you how much you're gaining by having the player with that ranking in the lineup above the average replacement.
All right. Okay. Okay, I got a question about hockey. And I watch hockey. I'm pretty knowledgeable. Now, if a defenseman shoots it from the, let's say, the faceoff circle, and it hits the goalpost, and the puck, the edge of the puck, hits the net above the goalpost, and you can see it where it goes, it hits the net, but the whole puck isn't across the crossbar. Is it a goal?
I think it has to be across the line. I'm not sure what you're describing is physically possible. But I think across the line, fully across the line.
Well, the puck is 5 inches across. The goalpost is less than that. So if the puck hits the net just below the goalpost, and it touches the net, and you can see the puck hit the net, I'm like a replay.
I might try to Google this.
I think.
But the back of the puck is not.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm reluctant to admit how far I want to try to take this. But I think, Mike, you just said it. Like, I don't think it's physically possible. I think for the puck to strike the bar in such a way that the netting would be disturbed would mean the puck would eventually be more in the net. Like, yeah. I don't think you can strike the crossbar in a way that you would have contact with the netting above the crossbar and the puck would then come out back out of the goal. I don't think that could happen.
I don't think what he said was physically possible. Maybe
right.
I'm wrong. I don't know. I wasn't ready for that question.
I think the trajectory of a puck
today
that would react that way, you would have certainty that it was a goal because it would end up further in the net. I don't think it could do that and then come back out. I shouldn't say, I mean, I'd be surprised to find out that it could.
Okay. Matt, everybody. Thank you, Matt. Getting connected with our fans brought to you by the law firm of Gelber and O'Connell. We take your personal injury case personally. Joe has a game. We also have Brian probably talk some PGA. A lot of different things to watch yesterday that were all pretty cool in their own way.
I missed the morning. I was out. I went golfing with Jeremy and Owen and his buddy Drew. We went to Delaware Park. I've lived here like since '99. I've never golfed at Delaware Park. I'm in the park constantly. It was really weird. I mentioned a few times to both my son and his friend and to Jer. It's strange being in the parts of the park that I was yesterday because I've never been on the golf course. I think I snowshoed across the park one time in the winter. That's the only time I've ever been like in, I'm on Ring Road. I'm running or well, I used to run and now I'm cycling out there. anyway, so I missed Formula One, and by the time I got home, like, soccer was just about over. So I never got, so I missed the morning stuff, and the morning stuff sounded like it was pretty good.
It's pretty good. It also includes a fun feel-good story about how I'm now asking my kids to help me with my betting.
Nice.
I'm bringing them into it. I'm raising them right.
Yep.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Sports is next on WGR.
I mean, I don't really know what happened, to be honest. I was out playing the puck, and then all of a sudden I'm getting buried into the boards. So, but you've seen another series. I think there's not that many goalies in the league. Obviously, when you're getting run through the end wall and you're not expecting it, it's not, you know, an ideal situation. So it is what it is. It's the playoffs, and they're trying to rattle you. And you know, like Evander said, the refs handled it and move on.
Oilers goalie Mike Smith, who returned to the game, Edmonton up 2-1 on Calgary. Tonight, Tampa can advance, and Colorado can stretch out its lead against St. Louis. Doubleheader. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. We've talked here and there. Snippets on yesterday in sports from the morning. There was F1 in the morning. Kind of a snoozer, I thought. Then the soccer. I mean, I just love how they do it. Somehow, I mean, it's worth thinking about, I would say. Somehow they managed to get just, not every year, but elite drama from a format that doesn't have any playoffs.
Right, right.
So, yesterday, just two quick things from it, I guess. Yesterday, for me, I decided to make a parlay bet on Burnley to lose and Leeds to tie, which would mean Leeds would not be relegated. Right, stay up, and Burnley would be relegated. For no really good, like, soccer reason. It's just what I did. Mm-hmm. And on that front, I don't know, 60th minute, it was like one goal away from that happening. I went over to my son. I'm like, you know, here's the situation. Do we cash out? Yeah. Or let it ride. And he's like, I would cash out. And then I did, just for fun. You know, I mean, you miss out on big wins that time sometimes, but your worst case scenario is a profit. This was like 150% profit. So, okay. And then that one game did get tied up. So for the next half an hour, I thought I blew it. But right at the end, Joe, Leeds scored. And that bet would have lost. So my son was right. Good advice from him. Think I won't be going back to him. I'm going to use him again.
Yeah, you got resources. You got to use them.
You got to use them. That's right.
Yeah. Joe Ostrowski, Trista Crick, Julius.
That's it. That's a partial list.
Yep.
So then at the top of the table, first place, you have Manchester City needing to win its match. Pretentious, or do we want to use match?
I'm already match. I wouldn't have hesitated.
All right. And then Liverpool, which would win the title if it won and City didn't. And at halftime, City is losing 1-0.
Yep.
I'm not going to use nil. Okay. That's where I draw the line.
I also approve.
Well, you use match, but you won't use nil?
Yes. And Liverpool is what, 1-1 at half?
1-1 at half.
They gave up a goal really early. And tied it, and the panel show was great. Like, they're split on who they think will win it, and so I'm watching Manchester City. Of the two, Manchester City's on NBC, Liverpool is on USA. It doesn't really matter which. I choose City because they have the power. Like, if they win, Liverpool doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Right?
When they go down 2-0, 75 minutes into the game.
Little earlier than that, but close. 60th, around the 60th, maybe.
When they go down 2-0, I go to the other game because now it's about whether Liverpool can score and win.
One goal. At that point, it was they need one goal to win the championship.
That's right. So I switched over and, like, edge of your seat. I mean, this is great stuff. Liverpool has the added opportunity to win what they call the treble. 3.
The quad.
And then the quad if they win on, what is it, Sunday or Monday? What is it?
Sunday, Saturday. Saturday
in the Champions League. So it was this huge opportunity. And I'm watching Liverpool as Manchester City scores 3 goals in like 5 minutes. And I have the announcer update from the Etihad. You don't see anything on the screen. You can't hear it in the crowd. Just in the course of play, the Liverpool game, the announcer says, update from the Etihad, it's 2-1. I think, do I turn the channel back and watch that or stay here? I decide, stay here, because it's still the same. It's still Liverpool's to win if they score a goal. But I'm thinking, I don't know, that could be the beginning of a comeback. It'd be pretty cool to watch that, but I'm here. 2 minutes later, update from the Etihad, 2-2.
Now, you got to get over there now.
I wait. Again, I choose not to, because it's still Liverpool scores and the other game ends 2-2. Liverpool gets it. Update from the Etihad, 3-2, Manchester City. So I flip back over there, because now Liverpool doesn't matter.
But now it's over,
for the most part. Then it was over. No more goals were scored. I missed every cool moment.
Right, even though you spent the whole morning watching these games, you didn't have the clicker down.
I never got the goal.
Yeah.
I was always just hearing about it from the announcers.
I was at a local establishment that has become like the go-to soccer bar in town, and the setup was very unique in that you kind of had the same thing, pick which game you were watching, because half the bar was taken over by Spurs fans. So half the bar was, they want Tottenham Everton on, and then
Tottenham
also they wanted Arsenal Everton.
Right.
Tottenham versus Norwich.
Norwich. Right.
Because
Tottenham was in a battle with Arsenal for the final Champions League spot for right?
Right. Yeah.
So this place had a very interesting predicament where you had two giant groups of fans that showed up, and they both need two games on. They both need two games on.
Right.
So half the bar went to the Spurs games, and then half the bar went to Liverpool versus Wolves behind the bar, but then you needed TVs somewhere for Man City. So they were directly behind us, the TVs with the Man City game on. So you had to turn around, like a complete 180, to turn around to watch the Man City game. So most people are directed towards the Liverpool game when it's 1-0 right at the end of the half. I actually, I was watching more of the Man City game at that point. I don't know why, but I was watching more of the Man City game when Coutinho for Aston Villa scores the second goal.
Mm-hmm.
And no one else was watching the game. Like, maybe a couple other people. I made a noise. Like, oh! And then everyone around, like,
turns around,
flinched and, like, turned around and saw it, and the whole place just erupted.
Right.
It was like, I sparked that eruption.
They're not coming back from 2-0.
No.
Right.
So, then we're dialed in on the Liverpool game, and then my buddy Nick, who, you know, League of Shopes and Dreams auctioneer.
Yes, the original.
He Leeds fan, so he was feeling good. He was just there to just. He has a good reason.
Love a Leeds fan.
You gotta love a Leeds fan.
He was not getting a TV yesterday, by the way, not for a Leeds game. In that place, he's just there to kind of take it in. And
you had to stream it anyway, if that matters.
I turned around. We're watching. It's one goal Liverpool needs to win the championship. At that point, everyone is like on edge. They've got 20 minutes to score a goal for the title. Like, that's how it felt. Man City behind us, it's over.
Odds on they do it, I think. I mean, at that point, you'd expect them to do what I did.
If there was a betting line, they would have been favored to win the title.
Yeah.
So at one point, maybe it's like the 70th minute for Liverpool, and they still haven't scored, but they're coming close, and I turn to just check on the Man City game, and it's still 2-0. But Nick tells me, what are you doing? That game's over. You don't need to turn anymore. Your attention is here. He says that, and it's Man City goal.
Yeah.
2 minutes later, Man City goal. 2 minutes later, Man City. So now I'm not a superstitious guy. I'm mad at him because he has jinxed us now.
You would have been watching it.
I would have.
You might have been able to use your power to deny those goals.
I would have been back and forth at least, but it turned really quick from that whole place on edge, just waiting to erupt. The moment a goal, actually we did, because there was a goal that Bulldog will like this, was called back on offsides. The whole place was going nuts, high-fiving, like jumping up and down, and then someone goes, it's off.
Liverpool, that was.
Liverpool was offside.
Right, so, before the comeback.
So you know what? I did have about 25 seconds of that moment where they scored a goal to win the championship, and that's what it felt like. So I had that. I had that for 25 seconds at least.
I think it was 1-0 then in the City game, but yeah, still, like, still, yeah, they're right. Losing, and you're going to get it. Wow, what a day!
Heartbreak.
Heartbreak, but how much does it hurt? They're winning everything else.
It hurt. But yeah, they are. But I don't know. Soccer's unique like that. It's Man City. There's a hate there for Man City with me. That the fact that it's them winning it is even it's a twist of the knife that makes it even worse. So yeah, you do have that caveat of you're playing for another championship next Saturday. So yeah. In that way, it is different. But it hurt in the moment because it felt like you got the hard part. The hard part was City was going to lose, and you felt like you had it. So it hurt. It hurt, I would say.
When the team gets relegated like Burnley, the players weep. They're bawling. Like, that is a really – that's a tough loss.
That's worse.
When you're out of the league.
That's worse. Yeah, getting kicked out of the league is definitely worse.
And that Everton comeback last week to save them from that possibility yesterday – fans just all over the field. It seemed pretty civil. Fans on the field at Manchester City, like all over the field. The equivalent of the goalposts coming down. But it didn't seem... I was watching like a wide shot of it, and security's just letting them back to their seats.
I thought I saw a goalie get accosted.
Yeah. Oh, really?
In one of those scenes yesterday. Yeah. Maybe it was Villa's goalkeeper.
Well, that I did not condone.
I thought got... They had to really rush him off the field at some point during all that. Not that you wouldn't want to get off the field if fans are flooding the field anyway, but I think a couple of fans took shots at the goalie.
That's bad. That's what I think every time. No matter what team I'm on, when I see a scene like that, I just like, what a nightmare for the players.
Yeah. You know what's dawning on me listening to Joe talk about this experience watching these games is just how casual I am about, like, you know, we say all the time, Man United's my team, that's my team, that's my team, whatever. And I did know they were playing yesterday and that I wasn't going to watch because I was out golfing. But it doesn't affect me at all that Manchester City, their rival in the same city, is such a power and they won the title again. Like, it doesn't burn me. I'm only so much of a fan because it doesn't aggravate me at all. Now, mm-hmm. I suppose if United were in Liverpool's spot, that would be different for me. If they were the one trying to find their way to the title, the whole scenario is the same, but it's United, not Liverpool. Maybe that's it's very different for me, I think. But, like, City themselves winning, I'm just sort of, whatever, fine.
You're like a Red Sox fan who doesn't mind the Yankees.
Yeah, right.
Ooh. And see, I feel like right now I am the Red Sox fan, and the Yankees are just living rent-free in my head.
Yep.
Like, City is the Yankees.
And it's like... It's such a good comparable, too. They're actually affiliated with each other, the Yankees and Man City, if you want that. But
as are Liverpool and the Red Sox, or were right. they?
No, they are. They're owned by the Red Sox. But it's like Erling Haaland goes there.
Yes.
And it's like, you're just going to buy all the good players. You've got all this oil money from the Middle East. Like, you're always going to be good. You're breaking financial free play laws. Like, you're going to outbid everybody. Like, they're that evil empire for me in sports right now.
Liverpool is the Red Sox. Manchester City is the Yankees. Everton is the Iron Pigs. They're really not in your hair at all. They get to play you there. They can't be the Iron Pigs. It could be like the, you know, the Marlins. No, do I want to get this right? Do I want to try? They're not the Marlins either. They're bigger money. They're in the league. They can be like
the Pirates.
The White Sox. The Pirate, whatever. Yeah, sure. Yes. Angels. Final answer. Angels.
Glad we cleared that up.
Yes. Hope to have Brian Koziol on in about 20 minutes talking about yesterday's PGA. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here with Sneaky Joe. This is WGR.
But how do you process what just happened, especially on 18?
It's tough, you know, to finish like that. Really good week. I didn't play really well today. Just needed to do a couple more birdies. Just hit it a little bit better to win, but... just happy to how the week turned out. I mean, on Monday I just wanted to make the cut, and on Sunday I wanted to win. So really hold to that and take this to learn from the future.
Mito Pereira, a par away from the PGA Championship, a bogey away from the playoff. I thought he was going to make bogey even after hitting his third up, like just. get that chip up and down and keep going. So, he didn't.
Yep.
Isn't it interesting? Like, these bets enhance this. You follow the golf thing so closely, and when did it start to seem possible that Justin Thomas might win?
Not, wasn't he close? Didn't he have a really nice shot to get him close on 17, but he missed the putt, I think. Was that, were you watching? I think that's right.
Or
that's
on 18, one of the two. Like he missed like a 10-footer on 18, I know.
I'm pretty sure it was 17 because that's the moment. I wasn't watching. I knew what was going on. I knew it was dramatic. You know, I was on Twitter watching Tampa and Florida and eventually the Rangers, Carolina. And so, I don't know, we got to an intermission and I got right over there and – that's when I tuned in. And live betting, it's like, Justin Thomas. I'm like, oh, but this guy's not going to screw this up. And I had just won Kucherov getting an empty netter. I had a nice little bundle there. I had like $20 on that, him and Reinhardt to score. That was a nice win. And like, oh, well, I'll just live bet the guy that's in the lead with half of the – I never bet more than $10. But I'm flush. I just hit, right? There it is. The total is Bill. Look at that. So, yeah, I'll get a nice payday out of this, too. Stealing money. This guy's just got to get a par. Oh, my God.
Almost.
Almost is right. Yeah, like, what a disaster.
I had a live bet, too. So, Joe, what hole is it then that Thomas decides to take the driver out? Is that 17 where it's a short par 4? Bulldog is talking about his birdie there, right? Like, that's 17?
I fell asleep up until the 18th.
Okay,
hole,
sorry.
I don't remember.
I'm not sure I'm right. I think it's 17. He's on the tee, and he's one back. And I had my brother-in-law over and my in-laws, and we were talking about the betting and how the odds were changing, partly because I wasn't able to watch it during the day, and I was using the MGM odds to tell me what was happening because the PGA Tour scoreboard app was really behind. So I'm looking at it. I'm like, now we're watching the golf, and Thomas is in that moment where he's deciding to hit the driver, one off the lead, and he's plus 700. I'm like, Mike, we're doing this. So I slapped a bet down on Thomas at plus 700, wow. And then in like 5 minutes, he was almost minus money. I mean, he probably wasn't minus money because of Pereira, but he was almost all the way to even, and then,
yep,
you know, favored in the playoff.
I was waffling. Like, I thought about Thomas. It must have been when he had that ball on the green at 17 because his number was nowhere near as high as you just said. But it was good. It was like 250, 300, something like that. It was changing constantly as I'm trying to decide what to do. And instead, I stayed with the leader and, you know, there we are. That's how it goes.
The Tour app was slow all weekend, but the MGM app is too fast because, like, Pereira would be over a putt. And his number would move before he even stepped over the ball. Like, you knew it had happened. And the people on the golf course are betting the thing before we even see what happened. So there was no way to be on time that I know of. The PGA Championship scoring app was better than the PGA Tour one, but still, like, I thought kind of clunky. I had a tough time being, like, right on time with the tournament. So be it. Worked out. A win in the golf bet for me, so.
Right, yeah.
Thank you for your quick payment. I bragged about you to my brother-in-law. I said, Bulldog will pay me within 5 minutes. He did not. You did not, but it was fast enough. Brian, I feel like he's going to be tougher.
I paid you before the thing was over because the playoffs started, and like you had both guys. So I'm like, well, whatever.
Okay, then I just didn't get the notification.
Yeah, so, I sent it before they even teed off on 13.
That's what I expected.
You had both guys in the playoffs,
yeah.
And you had both guys in the playoff. No, that's not right. You had Pereira on your fantasy golf team.
I had Thomas and Pereira in fantasy, so I went from ninth to first, and I had Thomas and Zalatoris in the bet.
You had a good week.
Had a good week. McIlroy was a little bit nerve-wracking, but leaving the top guys off the list definitely paid off. Brian is not available for us. We've got a game coming up, and Greg Buck joins us on the 100th birthday of WGR anniversary. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
To football, in New England, Bill Belichick says he has not yet decided who will call plays for his offense in 2022, as the team does not have an official offensive coordinator. SI's Albert Breer reports that it is possible Belichick calls his own plays on offense this season. Kyler Murray not present at Cardinals OTAs today. Adam Schefter reports there has been no new developments on a potential Murray extension. The Bills reported the team facilities today for the first team of OTAs. Practice will be opened up to the media tomorrow. Coverage of Bills OTAs and WGR is brought to you by M&M You Pull It, Western New York's premier destination for used cars and truck parts. That's your Paddock Chevrolet Sports Update. Paddock Chevrolet with you for the extra mile. I'm Joe DiBiase for WGR Sports Radio 550.
It's Mike Shope.
Willie Brown, Atkinson, Skip Thomas, and Tatum. That's who Bradshaw went up against.
And the Bulldog.
Starbucks going against those kind of guys. Big Ben Davidson. Dan Connors, the middle linebacker. Otis Sestrunk for Mods.
On WGR.
Oh, my God. Teddy Hendricks.
Sports Radio 550.
Just crush some more snap peas. But not the shells. Had to spit them out. I thought, am I going to be able to complete this task during Joe's report? No.
The shell, you're making it sound like you're eating pistachios.
I know, I know.
You can't handle the outer part of the snap pea?
I can, but it takes forever, and I don't like to. Okay, I just chew and chew and chew.
Yeah.
And then our friend Dr. T was listening earlier as I was talking about this, and he said, I will tell you an ER story about snap pea shells. You'll never eat another one.
Oh, dear.
So I don't know if I want to know that story, but I'm fine spitting them out. I chew them for like an hour, and that's enough. Spit them out. I still have some in there, you can tell.
You got a gross chewing problem, I think, is what the problem
is. Is that what it is?
Yeah, I don't know. I've never had a difficulty chewing, swallowing, digesting the entire snap pea. I don't know.
NFL news just in. Rashad Penny dealing with a hamstring issue. That is from the year 2022, by the way. May 23rd. Rashad Penny dealing with an injury. Adjust your rankings accordingly.
Make a call!
We talked some Bengals today. Jake Lisco, Locked On Bengals. Here is their last seven games. Or here are their last seven games, I might want. At Tennessee, Kansas City, Cleveland, at Tampa, at New England, Buffalo, Baltimore. They better beat the Atlantas and the Carolinas.
That's a little rough there. That's a stretch.
They are at the Jets week three. They lost to the Jets last year. Not many teams did that. They handled Pittsburgh last year, though, and they play Pittsburgh weeks 1 and 11. That might be the key. Last year, they basically just dominated those games and the Raven games. They scored 41 points in each Baltimore game.
Yeah.
With all their injuries.
I remember watching, if not both, definitely one of those games, and it might have been the most jarring outcome of the season.
Watching
it go there. Like, what is even happening here? Right? But, oh, well, Baltimore's all banged up. Are the Bengals good? Well, turns out the Bengals made the Super Bowl.
They were good enough to do that.
Yep.
See the stat on Mike Evans today. Maybe you knew it.
I did. 8 straight 1,000-yard seasons to begin a career. Yeah. Man.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Think about
that's the Watkins draft and Beckham. And think about those two guys next to Evans and that consistency.
Right.
I mean, Evans hasn't always had Tom Brady. But Beckham is on, you know, at least his third team. Is Watkins already on his fourth team at least? At least, maybe fifth. Buffalo, yeah. Rams, Kansas City, Baltimore, now Green Bay. He's on his fifth team, Watkins.
Yeah.
And they have 6 1,000-yard seasons between the two of them. 5 for Beckham, 1 for Watkins.
For their careers. Evans, 8 in a row to start his career.
Which has never happened.
It's the first time, really? First player to do that?
No one's ever done that.
Well, there's a reason why I want to bring up a name here that I know. It warms Bulldog's heart to hear it. Adam Krautwurst.
I figured he's going to be Krautwurst, or you're going to really, really work hard to work Alan Hearns into this conversation.
It's not over yet. Adam
Hearns, get out!
Adam is a staunch believer that Mike Evans is a Hall of Famer. That's kind of like his thing.
Oh, sure.
Do you have a thing like that? Like, this guy is going to the Hall of Fame? Like a Hall of Fame thing? Where maybe it's early or almost even perhaps ridiculous. I'm not saying it is with Evans. I mean, that's nice run.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
It's a good take.
He's done a lot, yeah. I don't ever think about the Hall of Fame anymore. Ever, really. So, I I'm sure I've got takes, things I believe. But as far as the Hall of Fame, I don't look at players... 15 years into their careers, 5 years into their careers, and think about, I don't know. It just, the Hall of Fame is just boring to me.
How about Diggs for the Hall of Fame? A Super Bowl would help him.
Yeah.
You know, have put up another great year and win. Goes a long way. Adam and I went to the Hall of Fame last year, by the way, in Canton, and because that's where the Hall of Fame is. And we all knew, like, this is his thing. He thinks Mike Evans will make it. And then we got to this exhibit where it was Mike Evans' shoes. And he said, I told you. Mm-hmm. He's already here.
Yep. You don't put his shoes in and then not put the guy in.
I think my new guy on that.
That's right.
Eli will always be my guy for that. The Hall of Fame debate that I'll always be ready for. But I think I'm getting into an Antonio Brown conversation a little bit once in a while.
Does he need another comeback?
I say no. He was, I mean, at least statistically, far and away the best receiver in football for 6 years. Like, reception-wise, yardage-wise, touchdown-wise, Julio Jones is usually second. He's usually a distant second. But the way I would construct the Hall of Fame would be more about strictly what goes on the field. And if we look at T.O., for example, for this, the voters do not do that the same way. This one, it might be more deserved, but he is like the ultimate right now for me on the field versus off the field, whether or not he gets in.
Right, because off the field aren't, like, a lot of people just going to go, forget it. He's not a Hall of Famer. He quit on his team, all the stuff. There's like, and that's like the least egregious thing he did was quit on the Steelers when he did. There's probably people that are just done with him. I don't even think about him having been a great player, but he was a great player.
I think that stuff fades away. I think the way the wind blows, we tend to forget about it or even dismiss it. Off the field things, you know, okay, so prove to me why it was such a hard time for his team. This Pittsburgh team's won all the time. Tampa Bay won a Super Bowl in year one. So, I mean, just I think we sort of forget it, and I don't think that that's so bad. It's probably good because the award or the honor should be for your performance. And all kinds of judgments and assumptions are made about players' performances based on how they perform, but many of them are always going to be wrong. Like, we just don't know about the work rate. We don't know what the interactions really are like. And you take guesses. I mean, Brown, obviously, I'm not saying it was all in private. There was legal, serious stuff. There was also the way his Tampa season ended. You know, bizarre and difficult.
Right. There's a lot of evidence that he's just a bad dude.
Right.
I would admit that
colors my opinion of the player. And it probably shouldn't, but it does. Like, I hear Antonio Brown, and, like, you guys ever start wanting to talk about Antonio Brown coming back? And, I mean, I just don't, I whatever, I'm done with him.
Will you grab the guitar? In the same?
No, it's not a grab. No,
it's not a grab the guitar.
No, I don't think
situation.
So. I don't think so. I'm gonna have to figure something out there because I can't reach from where I am. Anyway,
there should be a range based on which guitar, like whether you're just sort of like a gentle kind of Glenn Campbell kind of vibe, or it's, you know, just
yeah.
Is it just, well, hard?
The scenario I'm thinking when it's, you know, you guys are in the weeds on the fantasy stuff, it's definitely noisy. It's no Glenn Campbell gentle. It's ear-piercing
Metallica
nastiness. Yeah.
Joe, do you have a game for us?
That's an answer.
That is
I do.
Get some peas going here. I've got about eight left.
How do I want to phrase this? 15 quarterbacks are the all-time leader in passing touchdowns against a certain franchise. Some have multiple. That's why there's only 15. Can you name the 15 quarterbacks all-time who have more touchdown passes against a single franchise than anybody else?
Okay. So Tom Brady, perhaps, would have thrown the most touchdown passes against the Bills?
That seems like a good place to start.
I think I'm going to want, the player and the teams, if we could do it that way. Brady against the Bills is correct, with 72. That is tied for the most all-time against a single franchise.
Do we get that is tied for the most all-time any player against any team?
Yep, 72.
Do we get who else he might lead against here or no?
I think you should. I think I want you to guess who else Brady leads against. I'll give you this, though. Brady leads against three teams.
I'm going to say the Jets.
Incorrect.
Miami.
72 for Brady, tied for the most all-time against a single franchise.
See, I said the Jets before Miami because Miami's tripped them up a couple times. And in my head, I'm thinking, like, oh, no, he's not as good against Miami. It'll be the Jets. Idiot.
Would Marino be the record against the Jets?
Dan Marino, 72 against the Jets.
The same number.
Tied for the most all-time against a single franchise. Marino, 72 against the Jets. Brady, 72 against the Bills. Brady, 72 against the Dolphins.
Wow. It's kind of cool.
Marino is the leader against one other franchise. Brady is the leader against one other franchise.
I'd say Marino's other franchise is the Colts?
Agree.
Yes, 54 against the Colts for Dan Marino.
Another team for Brady to lead against outside of the division. That's kind of cool. Who would be famous here? Who did he just destroy? Tennessee?
Incorrect on Tennessee.
How about Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh is correct with 29. 29 is the lowest of all the teams on this list against the Steelers.
29 is the most touchdown passes allowed to any player by Pittsburgh.
Yes.
All time.
Yep. Second is Sonny Jurgensen with 27.
Against Pittsburgh.
Against Pittsburgh, yeah.
Sonny Jurgensen. You know what that is? That is the 60s NFL. That's where he did all that damage. I mean, he played in the 70s, but that is the 60s NFL. Wow, that's great. Not Ken Anderson or one of these other Warren Moon or somebody.
Right. Joe Flacco, no.
Wow. That's awesome. I like this game because of that. Drew Brees against Atlanta?
Yep, 54. Brees against Atlanta.
And
could he have Carolina, too?
Carolina, 55 for Brees.
Tampa.
Tampa, 61 for Drew Brees. The NFC South, Drew Brees. Not including his own team, obviously. He does not have the most against the Saints.
This is fun. We've got eight teams covered.
Eight teams covered and... What do you have, three quarterbacks?
Peyton Manning would have to be up here. Peyton Manning against Jacksonville?
Yes, 40 for Manning against Jacksonville.
Houston?
48 for Manning against Houston is number one.
Titans.
Titans is 35. That's number one all time for Tennessee. Manning is the only quarterback that leads... Has the most against four different franchises, though.
There's another one.
There's another one.
How is Rivers, say, against Denver?
Good. 46 for Rivers against Denver.
Is that his only team?
Nope. Two more.
Chiefs?
Chiefs. 41.
Raiders.
Raiders. 49 for Philip Rivers.
Manning's fourth team. Kind of go process of elimination here. We have 11 AFC teams. Oh, New England for Manning.
New England is correct. 43 for Peyton Manning against New England.
Let's do Favre next. Or Rodgers. This could be close.
Peyton Manning, by the way, 43 against New England. Marino, 42. That was a close one.
I'll say Rodgers has the Bears.
Rodgers has the Bears by one. 61 for Rodgers against the Bears. He has one other.
Minnesota.
Minnesota, 56 for Rodgers.
Favre, Detroit,
58, the most against the Lions.
Look
all
at
time.
Us. 12, 15, 18.
And is that it for Favre? He doesn't have anything outside of the division.
That is it for Brett Favre.
I happen to know the San Francisco answer from a tweet.
Yep.
San Francisco is John Unitas.
San Francisco, Johnny Unitas, 40. Football perspective inspiring this game. Wow. That. He has one other.
Oh. Green Bay?
Nope.
Cowboys?
Nope.
Not Chicago. Not Pittsburgh.
Giants?
Nope.
Not Giants. Not Detroit. Not Minnesota. Not... Wow. This is probably like right there, but I don't know who it is yet. Philadelphia?
Nope.
Washington?
Nope.
Carolina Panthers.
Nope.
The Iron Pigs. Wow. What is this then? Not the nine. The Rams.
The Rams. 39 is the record for Unitas against the Rams.
It's awesome. This is a great game. Elway.
John Elway has two teams.
Seattle.
Seattle with 44. Which I would have never guessed in a million years.
Right. Did we have anyone against the Chargers yet?
No.
John Elway, 38 against the Chargers is the record against them.
Very good. We don't have Cincinnati yet.
You do not have Cincinnati.
Or yet. Cleveland.
Nope.
Moon.
No Warren Moon. Anywhere.
Bernie Kosar?
No Bernie Kosar.
Bradshaw?
Nope.
Brian Sipe?
Roethlisberger.
Ben Roethlisberger is right against Cincinnati. 47.
And Cleveland?
And Cleveland, 43.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 9, 11, 14. There's two AFC teams still out there. Baltimore.
Baltimore.
The autumn wind is a pirate. Who would have the? Is it Roethlisberger?
Roethlisberger, 43 against the Ravens.
Who was the remaining team here? It's not West, not South, not East.
Who do you not have?
AFC, we're done.
Yeah, I think AFC, you're done.
Dallas, we don't have. Dallas, Washington, Giants, Philadelphia. All right.
NFC.
Who would have that record against those, against like the NFC East record?
Eli Manning.
Eli Manning against? Eli Manning is correct.
I'll say Dallas.
Dallas, 53. There's more Eli out there.
Romo.
Tony Romo is on here.
Giants.
Yep, 41 for Romo.
Is that it?
You said there's another Eli?
There is two more Elis.
Oh, take it.
Washington.
Washington, 33.
And Philly.
And yeah. Philly, 54.
8, 12, 16, 20, 25. We have three teams left.
Three teams left. I have you needing Green Bay, New Orleans, and Arizona.
Green Bay, New Orleans, and Arizona.
Quarterbacks that have the most passing touchdowns all time against a certain franchise.
Matt Ryan.
Four.
New Orleans.
For New Orleans is correct. 47 for Matt Ryan against the Saints.
Russell Wilson against Arizona?
Russell Wilson, 32 against Arizona.
That's so good.
Wilson needs four, by the way, to pass Unitas for the most against the Niners. They play this year. And then probably not again for 4 years, although maybe because 17 games now.
Green Bay is all that's left?
Green Bay is all that's left.
Tarkenton.
Not Tarkenton. An all-time great, though, for sure. Some may say future Hall of Famer.
Matthew Stafford.
Matthew Stafford. 40 touchdowns against the Green Bay Packers.
Way to read the clues.
I was going to guess him before you gave the second clue. When you said an all-time great, some would say an all-time great, I'm like, this is Matthew Stafford.
Got to be your best, yes. Your best buddy, Matthew Stafford.
He just beats out Unitas, who was second.
Wow, really
Green
good.
Bay list.
Really good. We are talking about, and there's some really special and fun clips along the way, how WGR went on the air 100 years and 2 days ago. Pretty good run. And naturally, Greg Buck was there. I mean, of course, there was no way he was going to miss that outing.
Okay, testing, testing. I can hear myself. I think we're on the air. Wow, look at the little red needle jump. Is that a temperature reading? Is it getting incredibly hot in here? Am I in danger? Oh, that is an audio meter. Neat out. Well, WGR 55 is on the air, broadcasting at 550 kilohertz. Hello, Buffalo, New York, and the surrounding areas. We've got some great programming in store for you. But first, let's take a call. Don from Mount Morris, you're on the air. Art? We can't take calls. What are we supposed to do? Let's see. Traffic and weather together on the 10s. Well, there are cars everywhere. There's one on Delaware. Exercise caution if you're in the vicinity of the hat store on Main Street. There's a car there. Lots of cars. Just be careful. Oh, and according to the News Radio 55 AccuDoppler radar, it is sunny. What else? Hey, we've got some commercial-free hits coming your way. But first, caller 5 to WGR 55 right now can win tickets to see Lambert Murphy at the Elmwood Music Hall. Call now to win before you can buy them. That's the buck deal of the week that you can take to the bank. Don't want to go? So long, sucker, because this train doesn't stop for folks who don't like to buck. Let's get your summer socks hopping. And if this truck's a-rockin', don't come a-knockin'. Here's Lambert Murphy kicking off another 10 in a row commercial-free summer jams on the only station across the nation that gives you the sensation of constant elation, WGR 550.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.